According to Ayurvedic medical science, the three items, kapha, pitta, and vayu, phlegm, bile, and air, maintain the physiological condition of the body. Modern medical science does not accept this physiological analysis as valid. But the ancient Ayurvedic process of treatment is based upon these items. Ayurvedic treatment concerns itself with the cause of these three elements, which are mentioned in many places in the Bhagavatam, as the basic conditions of the body. Here it is recommended that by practicing the breathing process of pranayama, one can be released from contamination created by the principal psychological elements. By concentrating the mind, one can become free from sinful activities. And by withdrawing the senses, one can free himself from material association. Ultimately, one has to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to be elevated to the transcendental position where he is no longer affected by the three modes of material nature. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that one who engages himself in unalloyed emotional service at once becomes transcendental to the three modes of material nature and immediately realizes his identification with Brahman. Sagunam samatitaitam nama bhuya kalpate. For every item in the yoga system, there is a parallel activity in bhakti yoga. But the practice of bhakti yoga is easier for this age. What was introduced by Lord Chaitanya is not a new interpretation. Bhakti yoga is a feasible process that begins with chanting and hearing. Bhakti yoga and other yogas have as their ultimate goal the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one is practical and the others are difficult. One has to purify his physiological condition by concentration and by restraint of the senses. Then he can fix his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is called samadhi. Oh, Madhyana, Madhyana, Shalakaya, although they don't understand really the aim of yoga. And this is a tragedy. Because so many people are interested in yoga, but the aim of yoga is a mystery to them. I gave a talk recently to some yoga students in South Africa. And I was asked to speak on Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And I was asked to speak on this gathering by a devotee, actually. He arranged, he's a yoga instructor, and he invited his students. So I had to speak about yoga from the perspective of Patanjali. Because people know about Patanjali, but they don't really understand the Yoga Sutras. You can find them on Google, they're there. Patanjali Yoga Sutras, 100 and something sutras are there. And of course, if you haven't read the Prabhupada's books, and if you just read Patanjali Sutras, you'll never understand the name of yoga. It's very abstract. It's not direct, it doesn't give direct clarity. Although, I think in one point only mentions Ishvara in the sutras, that if you read it, you just may miss it. So, then I spoke to them that the most important thing in yoga is to understand, first and foremost, the self, who we are, at least theoretically. At least theoretically, we have to understand the self. And I explained to them, based on what Patanjali was saying, in his verses, he's pretty much directing the consciousness towards understanding the self. So I explained to them that the self is that which is constant, that which doesn't change. From babyhood to old age, our body changes. But the observer, the self that observes the changes of the body is the same. This is interesting. Please ponder upon it for a second. Our body constantly changes, but the observer is never changed. The observer is the same. It's not that someone else will be inside and looking at the change of the body. You are the same person who went through all these different changes, physiological changes. So there is, after all, something constant. And people may understand the constant factor just within one lifetime. They may think, this is myself within this one lifetime, but when the life is finished, everything is finished. There is no more life. But if they make such a claim, they should be able to substantiate logically or scientifically. Of course, some yogis understand we are the soul, and there is reincarnation. And of course, if they do understand this, that's fine. But then, why the soul is in this world, they don't know. Because they may speculate, like you heard, those of you who have been around for a while, you might have heard how yogis speculate. We all thought we came to enjoy in this world, which is another false claim, which they cannot substantiate. So let's take these two claims and look at them a little bit and try to see how Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness can help people to understand what yoga is all about. So we can help them elevate themselves. They have this interest in yoga, but because there is no proper teaching, no proper training by the yoga teachers, then they end up being stuck on some level of spirituality. So, how they cannot substantiate is, the first claim is that if they think we are just this body, we live once and we die. Some people think like that. And they may be even attracted to yoga practices, but they may do it for physical purposes. I just want to be healthy, I want to come around to some yoga to have health. So I always ask them, they should be able to explain themselves if they have so-called scientific mind. They should be able to explain themselves. So if they are simple people, they'll say, well, the consciousness comes from, you know, from the chemicals, from the brain, they can say. But then we can say, how can something chemical, which is chemicals are dead, how can the dead chemicals produce something conscious? It's illogical and nobody has proven it. Why do you believe it? It's so simple. It's completely illogical to mix dead things and produce something conscious. Right? Do you agree with me? It's illogical, and also we don't have any evidence that someone has done it. Then why do you believe it? You ask them that. No logic, and nobody has done it, but you still believe it. It's good. So in this way you make them think. And now the second point is, if they believe in the soul and believe, they think there is reincarnation, the constant principle, the soul is there, they may accept that, and they may say there is reincarnation, but then when you ask them, so why are you here then? Why are you reincarnating? Some of them may say, I don't know, which is very often the answer, I don't know, I'm just here. Some of them may present themselves as philosophers and they may say, I came to enjoy here or something like that. And others may say, well, we are all God, so we came to have lilas, have fun here in this world. And then you immediately you can ask them, so God has fun by having cancer, for example, in the hospital suffering. Is God so unintelligent to be enjoyed by having cancer or some terrible disease in the hospital? They cannot answer it. It's so simple. So how can you believe that you are the supreme who has come to enjoy but then you suffer like a dog in the hospital with the tubes in your veins? What kind of enjoyment is this? And if you really God, why can't you just have fun? If you want to have fun, why do you have to suffer? Why do you have to create suffering as part of your fun? Doesn't make sense. And then you cannot even avoid the suffering. They may say, but I forgot I'm God. Now I have to remind myself. How can God forget? If there is a God, then it is illogical that that God will forget. So, this is the sad condition of the world. People are completely misguided. Even when they come to yoga, the teachers just make money out of them. Yoga is a big business. I don't know how many. Probably millions of dollars or more. Billions of dollars have been made by yoga. There's a lot of teacher training courses. And teacher training course like $2,000 or something. $2,500. To become a teacher. So there's a lot of money in there. And then there is lack of genuine training about the objective of yoga, which is it is the duty of our movement to actually bring this knowledge back into society. So Srila Prabhupada came to the West to teach what real yoga is. And at the moment, I think we have to reshape our tools so that we are more present and we can make connection with people. Because in many, many ways, we are failing to connect with, especially the Western audiences. I was hearing yesterday, he was saying something very interesting. He said, in America, we have so many wonderful temples. If you go everywhere, North America is full of temples, and we have amazing congregations made of Indian devotees. And he said, I take my hat off. They're really great because the Indian devotees have managed to attract their kind to the temple. But we, the Westerners, we have failed, he said. We have failed, Prabhupada. He said, look at, you know, Prabhupada's mission was to get the Westerners, and he argued why he did that. Prabhupada thought, if I get the Americans, because people follow the Americans, then the whole world will follow. That was Prabhupada's strategy, the very deep acharya thoughtfulness. Founder acharya thoughtfulness. If we get the Westerners, specifically the Americans, the whole world will fall. Because people are more or less attracted to the leadership that America provides. Even to this day, despite Donald Trump, still people are, even in India, I saw they are worshipping Donald Trump already. I saw on Facebook, yeah, they have a big picture, and they did RT, and one person was saying, he will save the world. Serious. There are people who believe like that. So we have to really think how to fulfill Prabhupada's mission, especially for attracting Western audiences. So yesterday we went to Hyderabad with the devotees, and so I spoke to them a little bit about what is Hyderabad. Because, so today probably I'll just speak a little bit on this more practical issue, so that basically we can think about it and be more effective together as a team in the spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mission. Because remember, people have no idea what the aim of life is. If they practice yoga, they don't know what the aim of yoga is. They don't understand. So we have the answers. We know that there is a supreme being, because there is so many wonderful arguments that we can give why we accept the existence of God. We accept the existence of God because there is a phenomenal arrangement, very complex phenomenal arrangement in the universe, within the physical body. And you can actually see that within this phenomenal arrangement, you can detect the signature of a phenomenal consciousness behind it, phenomenal intelligence behind it. That's why, even logically, rationally, we understand that there is a God. If you look into the complexity of this body, it cannot just happen by chance. Just like if I told you this book just happened by chance. Because it's so complex and it's so purposeful. And everything is arranged very nicely. So in our body, everything is complex, purposeful, and arranged very nicely. This is an indication there is a phenomenal intelligence behind it. So we have the answer. There is a phenomenal intelligence behind it. We are the servant that failed, the servant that left the connection. That's why we are suffering in the life, in the world of birth and death. And then the purpose of life is to reconnect. Yoga is to reconnect and end up suffering. So we have the answer. It's so simple. That's all. It's nothing complicated, nothing abstract. It's really simple. So we have to deliver this to people in an intelligent way so that they can connect with us. And we can make more devotees and make Prabhupada happy. So, yesterday we went to Hyderabad, and it was really an amazing experience. Very, I would say, a learning experience. So, we started chanting. We were 7 or 8, or I don't know, 9 devotees maybe, something like that. We started chanting. And all of us, I have spoken to the devotees on different occasions, because I've gone almost every time on Harinam. I gave them some guidelines about Harinam. So this time they tried to implement. So when we started chanting, we were absolutely focused together as a team, chanting some nice, beautiful melody. Everyone was singing, everyone was focused, everyone was playing their instruments. We were kind of dancing more or less together. It's quite tough to get men to dance together. One of them all together with the dance. The boys are more difficult, but still we got it. Somehow we got it together. So those of you who were there yesterday, you can also say, prove what I'm saying. There was a tremendous impact on the street. There were hundreds of people practically just walking by and just stunned and looking at us and taking photos, and they were like, wow, why is this thing? You know, it's amazing. So we chanted like that for a while. we went after some time up the street and we went to this place where that crazy guy killed the child, you know, and all that. There's a lot of flowers, I don't know if we'd be there.
Yep.
So we chanted there and made a prayer, at least myself, I don't know what the others were thinking. I was standing in front of the flowers and chanting for some time for these people that were killed there. And people also appreciated taking photos, etc. And then after we finished this, we were taking also a few photos with people who were attracted to us. So the boys were waving at people, not just looking down. Usually, I noticed Haridam parties. They just go to the street, everyone looking down. These stinking carvings, I don't want to look at them. I have to take bath in the Ganges if I look at their faces. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, everyone looking down. No contact, eye contact with the people, no. Not understanding what the purpose of Haridam is. So after we passed some time, I noticed the boys got bewildered. They were not together, the effect was not there, they were not focused, the mind was somewhere, you know. Because we were stopping and taking photos with people, so this broke the focus of, you know, the chanting. And of course, if someone is not very much used to it, like myself, I go back immediately into the focus, but the boys were getting bewildered. And I noticed after some time, the potency was diminishing. And then I stopped the kid and I said, this cannot be like that. We have to get back to what we're supposed to be doing. I got them all focused again. In fact, two of the Milanga players disappeared at some point, went to the bathroom. I chastised them severely. I said, how can you go bored of them? Because there was no Milanga. We remained with one gem only. And the person who was playing gem couldn't even play it well. You know. So there's so much lack of professionalism the way we approach Kirtan, Haridam. But it's a powerful tool. And Hridayananda Maharaj was saying also, we shouldn't think that we are going on the street to force people into Hare Krishna movement. We are forcing ourselves on them and we think this is success. The actual purpose of Haridam is to attract the jiva. And you cannot attract them if you look down, if you don't know how to play the instruments, if you don't dance in harmony, if there is no symmetry, if there is no attempt to relate with people, to look into their eyes, to wave at them, hey, how are you doing, sir? Nice to see you. Hi, madam. Cool. Someone wants to take a photo with you, would you like? You know? Therefore, we have to be very sensitive because we are there to relate to people and make them favorable towards what we are doing. This is why we are going there. Otherwise, we do it almost like a disservice. We're going, we're creating some noise, some people think it's some kind of a havoc on the street. We create some noise, some disturbance. They just don't feel like they relate to us in any way. So after I explained this to the boys again, what it is, then we focused. And again, everything happened like it was in the beginning. People were stopping, taking photos, coming to dance with us. All cultures, Chinese, white people, Arabic people. It was just amazing. Why? Because we were focused. We knew what we were doing there. And everyone was giving their heart, because if you don't give the heart, there is no effect. There is no effect. The heart must be there. So it's not just some kind of a musical performance where it's like a job, you hate it, you don't like it, but you just do it because you have to do it. Someone told you you have to do it. Not like that. You have to give the heart and people feel it. You know, I noticed some people stood there like completely mesmerized, filming us like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, some people stood there watching on Twitter. We stopped there by the library and talked. And it was really powerful. And I could see, and then I told them, it has to be done so precise, everything. The devotee who has flyers mustn't be sleeping in ecstasy. People are stopping and watching us. and he is just in ecstasy and bliss. He doesn't know his service that I have to go and give them the flyer. You see? Not that he doesn't know, but he's kind of, sometimes he's chatting and he's in bliss, sometimes he's noticing, oh, I have to give. One who gives the flyers has to be completely sensitive and awake to who is watching so we can give them a flyer. And also, we need to create an urban yoga, very, very nice business card to go along with the Crossroads card, both of them. Because urban yoga is a place where people, some of them at least, will relate and they will come for the programs. So, I will share a few things like that again to make you think how Harinam should be so that we can have the effect, the real effect of attracting people. So the first thing, we have to be focused. We're going on Harinam, everyone must be focused on what we are doing. Not like half-heartedly being there, thinking of something else while doing Harinam, coming with some clothes that are strange, some old clothes or something like that, looks weird, We have to come presentable to people, we have to look good. Like Tirtha Maharaj used to say, first dress, then address. Doesn't matter whether you come in dhoti or in civil clothes, we don't mind this, but dress properly, Respectful, it has to be respectful. Yesterday I noticed, I won't say names, but some devotees were not dressed properly. Some short pants, and old, it looks like they went on the beach with these pants or something. It didn't look good. So dress code, focus, everyone has to be focused on what we are doing. What we are doing is we are presenting Krishna Prema, Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. We are advertisement agents. Advertisement agent? I thought I'm just banging the cartels and having fun on the street. Not really. We are advertisement agents. We are trying to attract people to Krishna. I don't know if this is making any sense to you, but we are advertisement agents. We are travel agents. And our travel agency is giving a visa to Goloka Vrindavan. And this is the highest you can offer. And therefore it has to be done in the most precise way. Everything that you do. So, like if the ladies are there, they have to be at the front, nicely, organized, the way they look, the way they dance, interacting with the people. We also interacting with the people. The devotee who pulls the sound system, he has to be conscious when the kirtan becomes loud, he has to put the volume up. Yesterday I had to tell them, put the volume up because the mridangas, the djembes became so loud, my voice can't be heard, but nobody cares. Who cares whether the leader's voice is heard or not? They're just jumping. So I have to tell them everything. They just not trained about what their duty is. I mean, they're very sincere devotees, very wonderful. But someone has to train them. It's like this, like that. It's like if you open a business and if you get employees, you can't just put them in the business and say, okay, just do whatever you want. Right? It's a very precise thing. So I was telling them, the devotee just lifted up. Then we would put the sound system. We were dancing and it was behind all of us, so our bodies were blocking the sound also. So then I told one devotee to bring it forward, he put it next to me, I almost crashed into it. We're not thinking. So we have to be very, very thoughtful about presentation. There must be symmetry, you have to look good to people. Symmetry must be created. The way we dance, the way we stand on the street. And of course the very important thing is to to watch the people and greet them and interact with them with your eyes, with your body language, to show them we are here for you, we appreciate you, we love you, we are here for you. We are not just some kind of a gang screaming on the street to disturb you. We are here for you, we are trying to give you something, we are giving you love, we want to entertain you, we want to make you happy. This should be our mood. And then when this is our mood, he was there, he could say what happened last night. How nice it was on Harinam. Was it nice?
Yeah, very nice, bro. Last year, very nice.
Yes, you see. So if the people feel that we are there for them, they reciprocate. Doesn't matter what body they're packaged in, what doesn't matter what the packaging of the soul is externally. There were people from Saudi Arabia joining in dancing last night. I can see them, I know how they look. But they are students here in Australia, they're dressed in casual clothes. But I know how they look. They were taking photos, they were mesmerized by the Harinam. They were Chinese people, there were so many different people coming and dancing. So why this is there? Because we were together, we were waiting on people, we were interacting with them. We were mindful, we were thoughtful about what we were doing. And then every person that stopped, I immediately, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do it. Like the person who is in charge of giving flyers, I always have to look at him and say like that, because he doesn't even think there is a Chinese person, he has to give him a flyer. Sometimes. He doesn't register. Doesn't matter what body it is, just go and give him the flyer. So I have to do like that, you know. Secretly, so that people don't see me that I'm trying to control something, you know, to. So we have to know our duties. The flyer person has to know exactly how to do it. The person, the sound system, has to know how to do it. The person, there must be always some photographer, devotee who takes photos. Because when you put this on Facebook, then thousands and thousands of people around the world get inspired by what's happening in Melbourne. And they will say, oh, we want to do the same thing somewhere else. So don't think you're just doing something in Melbourne. Now with social media, you're impacting the whole world. Therefore, photography is very important. Because if the photographer captures some golden moments, like yesterday there were some ladies in total ecstasy, you put them there, people say, wow, we can also do the same Harinam somewhere else, you know, whatever. Yeah. And this is a general issue all around ISKCON. I've traveled and I've seen devotees who don't understand what is Harinam Sankirtan. They just go out, just singing, and, you know, most of the devotees. Of course, there are great devotees like Indrajyotna Maharaj and others who understand and organize everything and looks good and attractive to people. But a lot of the devotees, they just, it's not their fault, it's our fault. Those of us who are seniors to actually encourage and guide and nurture the proper behavior. So we need to reshape ourselves in terms of our presentation. And then those people who, you know, come to watch, that means they have some attraction. And if you give them a flyer, over yoga, with a smile, nice to see you, sir. We have these programs here, please come visit us. You'll see, they will start coming. Then the urban yoga team must be jacked up. When people come, nice to see you, sir, welcome, madam. Treat them properly, encourage them, have a whole system of follow-up so that we develop some relationship with the persons. Like what I do, the most important thing in Bhakti Yoga is relationship. And I notice that's where we fail. We attract the people, but when they come, nobody wants to develop a relationship with the person who is coming. Because we're too busy. Everyone thinks that I'm too busy. I've got my services. I can't be a friend to this guy. He looks weird anyways. But we should have this deep vision that anyone that enters the door, whether it's urban yoga or the temple, is being, that person is sent by Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That person is sent personally by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that we can take care of him or her. And that means we have to develop a relationship with them. And then you can say, but how many people I can develop a relationship with? I'm just one small person. Fine, you're one, but around you there are 100 others. If you develop a relationship with 10 people, just look at the numbers. You, one person, you develop a new relationship with 10 new people. Every one of you. 100 times 10 is 1,000. This is simple math. This is Prabhupada's movement. And we have to be really focused on doing that, because really, really, Prabhupada is the most pleased when people are coming, when he's seeing them coming to us. Prabhupada was very pleased book distribution is going on, but he was more pleased when he saw the bodies are coming. Prabhupada wouldn't be happy just to know my books are going out, but nobody is coming inside my temples. Wouldn't be happy. Because the objective of his book distribution is to bring the person inside. So, I also developed this style in book distribution that is slightly different from the average book distribution. Hare Krishna, thank you for making us happy. Another happy silence. So, even in book distribution, I developed a different style of doing books over the years, which I find very, very successful. So, I'm going to share with you. I go on books not to distribute a book. I go on book to catch a person. And it works. It works. When the people feel that you are there for them, they reciprocate with you. But if they feel this guy is just a business person, he's trying to sell me something to make some money for himself, they don't understand what it is. That's how you affect them. That's how... That is the level, the impact that you can make. Not much to this. You know, it's just some kind of business transaction. Very, very few, 0.1% will come to the temple from that kind of business transaction. My humble observation. So what I do, I make sure that the people feel that I'm there for them. That the book is just something I want to share with them so that they can learn about what I'm offering, but I'm there for them. And it works. I have a WhatsApp group, more than 100 people from all around the world, from Tajikistan, Iran, all kind of places, they're connected and they stay and every day they're waiting for Bhagavad Gita realization that I'm seeing. Every single day. From all around the world, Africa, Europe, America, Russia, Japan, so many different places, Italy. So I met a lot of these people on the streets. And I have my own follow-up. And I cannot be with them all the time, personally, physically, but I made an arrangement to nurture them. A few days ago, I had an email from a person. One lady, she says like this in the email. Actually, it was in the Facebook. So she sent me a friend request, and I was thinking, who is this person? I don't know who that person is. So I generally don't accept people I don't know. So I wrote to her. Hi, how are you? You know, just to see who's going to respond, who's behind it. And then the response was, hi, do you remember me? You met me in Basel, in Switzerland, on the street last year in June or May. And you gave me this book. So of course, yeah, I remember. And I remember actually who she was. They were two ladies, they were dancers. She said, I'm a dancer. And I immediately remember who it was. They were two ladies, dancers. And they were just passing on the street, so I gave her the book. And she said to me, I remember very clearly, you told us something really powerful and I will never forget that. So I always kept this thing in my mind. And recently I went through the book, and on the back of the book I saw your name, Facebook name, and I immediately thought, I have to connect with you. So we connected, and then I added it to my WhatsApp group as well. So in this way, you know, we can take care of people. I may not be able to physically be with them, but I'm offering some nurture and some assistance like that. Another person, I'll tell you something that I encountered a few days ago. Again, connected to this WhatsApp group that I have. One of the devotees in South Africa, Bhakti Jurgen, he said to me, you know, this person is very nice, but she needs help. So please add her to the group. So a few months ago, I added that lady to the group. She lives in London. I never met her. Zimbabwe, maybe. So I added her to the group, but after a few weeks, she pulled out of the group. So I said, well, she's got her reasons, whatever. And again, a few days ago, she writes to me, please help me, I'm in a big mess. So, what is going on? She said, I've got a job, I've got a family, I'm in touch with them in Zimbabwe, I live with my aunt, but my heart inside is absolutely empty. I'm feeling like I just want to jump in front of a train. She told me like that. She works in London, got a good job, she studied master's or something, you know, graduated from a good college, Cambridge, I think. She said, I feel like I'm just jumping in front of a train. So then I went into a little bit more discussion with her, and she told me the truth, what actually happened. She said, I was raped twice in the past, maybe 1 year or 2 years, I can't remember exactly. Raped twice from two different people. So people are ruthless these days, and some of the ladies, they're just innocent, they just go along visiting someone, and then that guy forces them into some abusive things, and she feels completely lost. So then I had to nurture her. I couldn't say, no, I'm a brahmachari, I'm not interested in woman, I'm fine, I'm detached. You go to hell. No, I spoke to her, I gave her some time, I send her my album, she can listen to devotional music, I send her back Tirthaswami's PDF books, she can read something. We spoke for some time, I told her there is a temple in Soho Street, you can go visit the devotees there, you get a different experience, different energy. Stay in touch with me, I'm here for you, anytime you want to write, please. So like that. We have to learn how to nurture people. We are here for that. We are not just here for ourselves, to be saved ourselves. Prabhu, I'm going to walk up and down. Yes, I'm going to walk up and down. What about you? I'm also going to walk up and down. What about everyone else? Who cares? I'm going. And that's enough. And it's good enough. So, and even if we do some outreach, we have to learn how to do it quality. This is my point. The whole presentation today I'm making is quality outreach. Relationship building, connecting with people, doing Harinam properly. Even at Crossways, I'll tell you, before I joined ISKCON, I was a waiter for some time because I had to pay my studies. My parents didn't have money to pay my studies, so I had to wait to pay at the University of Cape Town. So I was a waiter. Even as a waiter, I was making devotees. In a karmi restaurant, I made two devotees. The whole restaurant was chanting Hare Krishna. Except the barman, who was an envious person. Managers, everyone respected me. Even working in a karmi restaurant, I made devotees. People are coming to Crossways and we're not connecting with them, not making devotees. That is, we don't understand the full picture. The full picture means we have to always be ready to strike up a relationship with someone. And, you know, if our plate is full, we can't handle more than 10, 15 people. We can create a WhatsApp group where we do something with these people, intelligent, connect with them, encourage them. There is always a way. Wherever there is a will, there is a way. How you can relate to that person, what you can do with them, how can you help them. That mood must be there, you know. And I see it all over the world. It is not a prominent feature of our movement anymore. Like, people come to Cape Town, our restaurant in Cape Town, and the devotee who is serving there is just saying, Prasad, who cares? That's fine, you know, I don't want to develop a relationship with them, I don't want to know who they are. So everywhere in the world I keep repeating the same thing. Let us try to be more personal with people. They're coming. You have to involve the heart. If the heart is switched off, then it's just some superficial rubbing of bodies in space and time. You know, like, hey, how's it? So nice to meet you. Have a good day. Sunshine is beautiful today. This is not Mahaprabhu's movement. Mahaprabhu, any person that saw him became devotee. And you may say, but I'm not Mahaprabhu. Yes, but you are representing him. Maybe not everyone will become devotees, but even if 10% of the people that see you become devotees, that's enough. That's enough. Even if 1% become, it's enough. So dear devotees, we really have the answers. And they're looking. But we have to present ourselves, we have to organize ourselves intelligently, so that we have a better effect on society. You just have to be more personal, in essence. Everything I'm saying with so many words, it can be just brought down to one sentence. Just be more personal with others. And concerned about them. This is Bhakti Yoga. And this is what Prabhupada wants us to do. Then the movement will grow like anything all around the world. People are waiting for us to become personal. That's all. So, whatever you're doing is great. Because you're engaging in devotional service, you're doing your best according to what you know. But think, we can always upgrade ourselves so we can have better results. We can have a better effect. Never be satisfied with what you have. It's called spiritual greed. I'm never satisfied with just preaching to one person, making one goal in my life. I'm never satisfied. I want to see more devotees. I want to see more people becoming devotees. How do I make it? Let me strike up a plan. Let me think how to do it. According to your own capacity, some of your family people, you have duties and work and children, and that's fine. But you can at least think about, in your own way, how you can help others. It's like one devotee is driving Uber, and I told him, just keep preaching to the people. You're not this body, you're the soul. That's the only chance. He's come to you to go to a club to drink. And you just strike up a nice conversation. Hey, how are you doing, sir? Nice. You having fun this nice weekend? Yeah, I'm having fun. So, find a way to introduce Krishna consciousness. Tell him something that will make him interested. Some people will not be, but some people will be. And this is all miss the opportunity that we should never miss. Because if we don't speak to them about Krishna, we don't know whether they will take or not. Prabhupada said, if you don't have compassion to others, you're violent. Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. If you don't feel compassion for others, you're violent. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jaya.
Bhakti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki?
Jaya.
Hare Go Prema Vrindi. Bhakta Prabhu.
You're saying about book distribution, and I like the point that you made about having your own personal contact with the back of the book. Do you do that as a stamp or a sticker? Or
I write it, handwritten.
You handwritten, okay.
Yeah. It's personal.
It's a good tactic. The other thing is, I promote again the magazine that we had, the 50th anniversary magazine, even though it's now the 51st
year of
this, we can still utilize that magazine to introduce it to Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
It was designed specifically for its purpose.
Yes.
And so please take it.
So we have copies lying around.
But with the system that we have here is that the congregation actually buys for $2 a unit, they buy a magazine. And then the whole idea is that they give that to someone that they come in contact with.
Yeah.
As a package, then again, the whole idea is done in such a way that it's attractive to a person that's never been in touch with Krishna consciousness. And the thing is that it's a gift. A gift is a sign of friendship.
Yes.
We don't ask anything for these magazines.
Yes,
just to yourself, and it's a gift for someone, and
yeah.
They feel it.
Yeah. If we have this on high level, it will be very powerful.
If people will purchase it, the devotees have to purchase it.
Yeah.
That's it. Whether it's $10 a week, they can hand out five or whatever.
Yeah, they can do it.
It's a means of actually distributing.
So. Yeah. So we can think of that. Maybe those of you who are coming from Hariram, or those who are not coming from Hariram, to purchase a few copies a week and give it to the Hariram boys.
Yeah, and then just focus.
Yeah, think about it before we move from that point.
Somebody that may be in this Hariram, like you were saying, you know, there was the Chinese people and the people from Saudi Arabia and so on and so forth. Prabhupada's books are great, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't give the full information about Krishna consciousness. So if someone's going out on Hariram, if they have a bag, and they see this person is really interested,
yeah.
Bang. And then with the whole package.
Yeah. Yeah. We usually have a distributor, and, you know, so we can get some magazines as well. Because also the magazine is written in a very simple language,
yes,
that can relate to modern people. Well, Srila Prabhupada's books can be a bit cumbersome for most people with the terminology, academic, you have too many references. And most people are not academic these days. They're very simple and they get easily discouraged if they see Sanskrit terminology too much, and, which is great for intellectuals, but not everyone is an intellectual. Pete who goes to the pub, for example, what he doesn't care about Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.28 or whatever. You know.
See, one of the things that we did formulated this magazine is that people are very pictorial. They are attracted by pictures. Not so much the written word. So the whole thing, and when we actually did surveys later on from people about the denominations and other people, they said the thing that attracted me most about the magazine is the pictures. And some people have told us we cannot stop flicking through the pictures. And it's Krishna.
Yeah.
It's Krishna and his devotees. I can't emphasize it enough. From what you're saying, thank you very much for your advice. You know how I feel about those issues.
Mm.
That's what we really need to focus on. We've got a great tool that needs to be utilized.
Yeah. Hariram is powerful, the magazine is powerful, so let's combine them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Bhakti Prabhu. So please, dear devotees, those of you who cannot, for some reason, come on Hariram, maybe buy a few copies a week, two or three copies, and give it to one of the temple brahmacharis, whoever comes from Hariram, and then we'll take it out while I'm here. And if I'm not here, they can still keep doing it. It's really nice. You get a little business card and then a nice magazine telling the people what we're all about. Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for sharing with us today. I also want to give you a comment about devotee Jagbharat Prabhu. He used to do a training course on hiding, and he used to have around 10 students learning from him. So what he would do is, before he would do his course activity, he would just 20 minutes explain about devotional service, about Krishna and about Bhagavad Gita. That is how he would start. And after that, he would do his class on IT, and in, after the class finish, he would distribute prasad. So this is how...
Where is that person from?
He's
here. Oh, okay. He's our
Jagannath.
So, yeah, you can be creative. Any skill that you may have, you can use it. Any skill to introduce Krishna consciousness. In fact, there is a devotee in Germany. His son actually is initiated, but he is very favorable to ISKCON. So he became so inspired. He wrote a symphony. He is a composer, Krishna symphony. So now he just finished it, I think, a few months back. And he's a professor at some German university, music professor. So I'm in touch with him, and I'm going to try now to see how we can play this symphony in Bulgaria, in my country, get some sponsors to pay the musicians, and get that. He hasn't staged it yet. Never. It's just amazing. So he has his talent, and he's using his talent. And you also, you have many different talents. So use your talent to attract people to Krishna. And remember, ISKCON is a preaching movement, but it is all about a cultural presentation that fits in people's paradigms. Fits in. So, Prabhupada used to go to rock concerts, you know, and chant there, and engage with the hippies and this and that. So if some devotees can do music, they can do. If some others are artistic, and they can do nice flyers or posters for Krishna, then they should engage their abilities, because we do need it. Like, I'm again saying, we need a very nice business card for everyone.
We have a yoga card. Is it not being printed?
Okay. We need a very nice business card, yeah. Printed and given along with the Crossways flyer, so that people know we have also some venue where they can go and further engage in what they saw as fun on the street, what they saw as attractive. They can go there. Otherwise, if we just give the Crossway flyer, they may think we're just business and trying to attract customers. You see, to this, it's like a business attractive strategy. They may, some of the people may think it's like that. But if we have the urban yoga flyer, they'll understand this is what we do. We give nice vegetarian food, but we also have these classes and meditation and kirtan and yoga, and this is an alternative that you can join as well. So they'll see the whole package.
We have to get that message to the
Raghunam Sankirtan party, so that these flyers are always there for them. It's important. You'll see how your numbers will go double, triple, if they keep doing nice Harinam, the way I'm saying, if they keep doing this properly, nice Harinam and attract people, then all the trouble is flourish like anything. And especially the Western people will be attracted. Yes?
So, first of all, personally, you know, I should be aware, I'm very sorry that I personally never approached a Western person for any kind of relation development or something. Because I personally feel Bunda is a kind of a barrier between myself from the culture I'm coming in and the Western culture. There is a kind of barrier. But if I think personally in my mind, like how I started picking up Krishna consciousness, I was going to a particular program. Take an example of Chandra Thamram. We all started with Chandra Thamram, Bhakti Visha. We started picking up skills there. And one fine day he said, okay, fine, now you're trained enough, you go and open your Bhakti Visha.
Yes.
That's how we see in Melbourne, we have so many Bhakti Vishas. So do we have something structured kind of training where if someone is interested, he can go, he can learn those skills, and then he's confident enough.
I can teach you that. I'll share whatever I know, and then you share with others. But, you know, if you deal with Western crowd, you have to introduce them to urban yoga. But the urban yoga, that's why Maharaj, the Amrita Swami Maharaj, is so emphatic that we have to... The Indian devotees have to be in the minority, so that they don't... When they come, they must think it's Indian cultural center or something like that. Because they are body conscious, you see. Not that there's something wrong with you, it's their body consciousness. So that's why fewer devotees can go there and facilitate that. But there is a skill how to deal with people in general. It's an art how to develop some friendship. And also the beginning of the art, the foundation of it is you have to learn a little bit about, you know, what they like some people like music, rock music, whatever. You have to know a little bit of the dynamics there so that you can actually relate to whatever they experience. Like a person came to urban yoga the other day, he was wearing a t-shirt of Black Sabbath. You know, it was a rock band. And I knew what this band is all about, so I told him that I know the songs of the band and I like it. And when I was really kind of happy.
Just
to
finish up also, I knew Ruben and myself were talking recently, one of the directions that we want to start taking in the understanding this talk that we're making about bridging the Western people is that we actually have Bhakti rituals that are Western orientated.
Yes.
And so my wife and I said now they sent you the first Bhakti ritual for Western.
Oh.
And we hope to further that and develop that, because I take your point. It's imperative that we actually start making connection with the rest of the people, to give this philosophy to the Western people.
Yes.
So that will be the first Western outreach Bhakti Ritual group, and then we hope to expand that from there.
Like from urban yoga, when they come there, the next step is, where do you stay? Oh, we have this person there, they're meeting there, so we need to create that network so that they can have somewhere in their area something so that they could more frequently relate to devotees rather than just going once a week to urban yoga or something. I think it's possible. It requires some steadiness and determination and support and of course proper strategy. But yes, everyone can contribute in some way. So whatever little we can do it. And if you feel uncomfortable with preaching to Westerners, then just preach to Indian people, be happy with that, because, you know, the jiva also, not that we just preach to Westerners and forget about the Indian people. No, we're not saying that. Whatever your capacity is, do that, whatever is comfortable with you. The point is preach. And if you are from another culture but you can preach to Westerners, then that's a bonus. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Nati Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki.
Jai.
Tai Guru Premanande.